When someone says the words, I love you, these three words, I love you, can be some of the most powerful words that anybody can say to somebody. It can change the dynamics of a surrounding, of an instant, of a relationship. When someone says to you, I love you, it's powerful. There are some, listen, most people go through their life soliciting or waiting for or anticipating that one day someone will say to them, I love you. There are women here that there's a guy, a certain guy somewhere, somehow he said that to you and you, yeah, or maybe you're waiting for him to say that to you. Even men, I know, yeah, I'm a big man. Listen, even men, I don't care how big and bad you are, you want someone to love you. Don't get it twisted. See, a relationship many times is built upon this foundation that someone has said, I love you, and then we build a relationship on it. See, most people, they will not build a serious relationship until that is. People usually say, who said the L word first? Are you going to say it or am I going to say it? At some point, I haven't inquired, but I guarantee, I would hope so, at some point, Miles and Sam have said this to one another to get here. Amen. The issue would be, what do we mean when we say it? What do we mean when we say, I love you? Because in the Bible, in the chapter that we're speaking about, there's a story between a guy called Amnon and a woman called Tamar. And so, here is this guy, Amnon, and so he's a young guy, and he looks all depressed, and he's moping around, and his friend sees him and says, bro, what's up, man? Why are you down? What's going on? And he says, you know what? I love Tamar. And this is what he says. He says, I love Tamar. And so his friend says to him, bro, man, so what are you going to do about it? And so he's I don't know what I'm going to do. And his friend says, listen, let me school you a bit. Let me give you some bars, some lyrics. Let me show you what you need to do. And so what he says to him, he says, you need to pretend that you're sick and then ask your father to bring her so that she can serve you some stew or I don't know what it is, some agusi soup or some patties or whatever, rice and peas. And so he's like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And so what he does is he strategizes and he pretends that he's sick. And so this Tamar, she comes in. And so he's planning to basically woo her or to force her to be with him. And so when she comes in, she comes close. Oh, Amnon, you look so sick. What's the matter with you? She's doing the Florence Nightingale. And as she comes over, he grabs her. This is Bible. He grabs her and basically he forces himself on her. She's screaming, no, don't do this. This is wrong. You shouldn't do this. Remember, this man said he loved her. And he actually, the Bible is blatantly truthful about this, even though it's wrong. The Bible shows us that this man, he actually rapes this woman. And afterwards, he makes a statement. The Bible comments about him, and it says this in the text, verse 15. It says, and Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, arise, be gone. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now, as the reading of your word goes forth and the preaching of your word, Father, I pray that you would soften our hearts to receive and learn today from your word. Father, I pray that you would penetrate our hearts. Teach us what real love is so that we are able to display it, show it, experience it, and walk in it by your grace. I pray today, Father, that you would bless the ceremony, bless the couple, but I most of all pray that Jesus would be the highest guest of honor. In Jesus' name, God's people said, the question is this, what is love? Because if that's love, I don't want it. How many ladies in this place would agree, if that's love, you don't want that? So we have to understand, what is love? Well, you know, as you look in today's culture, this is one of the ways that you can understand how people think about love. And so I was researching, I was looking, I was thinking, okay, what are some of the top love songs? that people would be listening to. And so I don't know what people are listening to now, love songs. Old boy. And so I went on and there was some Pepsi pop chart thing. And so it said, these are the top love songs of last year. And so one of the guys, Bruno Mars. Is it Bruno Mars? You know this guy? Mons? Miles? I don't know who he is. You know who he is. Amen. I'm going to get the names wrong. So praise God. You can snigger and have a good time. And so he's the When I Was Your Man. He's got a song. Maybe some of you know it. You already. Yeah, when I. He says this. He says, same bed, but it feels just a little bit bigger now. Anyway, we're going to swiftly move on. He says, our song is on the radio, but it doesn't sound the same. When our friends talk about you, all it does is tear me down. I mean, I don't want to experience that. That's not good. I don't know if you know that. That's not good. And he says, because my heart breaks a little when I hear your name. That is not a good experience. That doesn't describe what I want. I do not want that. If that is love, then you can keep it. There is another song. I don't know who this woman was. I believe she's actually from Clapham or something like that. Imagine It Was Us. I think it's Jesse something. I don't know. You know, amen. There you go. And so this is a song that she's got. And this is one of the lyrics. It says, I should know better than to wait for you. If I leave, well, it's no better, so I'll wait for you. What are you? Are you waiting? Are you going? What's happening here? I'm confused. It goes on and says, I don't know if this is wrong, but it's creeping into my mind. Anything creeping is wrong. Stamp on it. If it's creeping, there you go. I've showed you. If it's creeping, get rid of it. Stamp on it. Spray it with insect repellent. I don't want nothing creeping. It says, I don't know if this is love, but I think it's worth a try. Woo! See, the last guy tried, and now his bed is bigger. And listen, could it be fantasy? Could it be a secret to keep? I don't know. Last one. Justin Timberlands or Timberlake or Timber whatever. I wear Timberlands. This one is a real. Yeah, I'm lost. I'm gonna read it, and so you may get it. I was lost. So Pusha Love Girl. Is that you pushing me? Oh, I don't know. Okay. Hey, little mama. I'm not singing it, and I'm not doing an American accent. Ain't got to ask me if I want it or if I want to. Just tell me, can I get a light? Roll you up and let it run through my veins. Huh? I don't want to be rolled up. Because I can always see the furthest stars when I'm on you. I don't want to ever come down off the clouds of loving you. Now you've got me hopping. Now you've got me hopping on that pusher love. So high, I'm on the ceiling, baby. That sounds demonic. I saw a film before I was saved one time, and someone was on the ceiling, and their head was standing, and they were talking like that. I don't want to be on the ceiling. It says, you're my drug. Oh, wow, okay. You're gonna be my dealer, baby. Roll me up. Cause all I want is you, baby, baby. Show you that real love. Listen, if that's love, rolling me up and I rolling you up, I'm on the ceiling. Listen. People, listen to this. See, you've heard me say it without the words. You heard me say it without all the music and the dancers. And when you're listening to it, you're like, is that what he said? That's what he said. And then you listen to this, and then you say to someone, I love you. See, if this is what you're talking about, what you're saying to me is, this is confusing. This is not based upon truth. It's fantasy. And basically what people are saying many times when I love you, they're saying, I actually don't know what I'm saying. See, what many people call love is just a sensation of attraction. What many people call love is no more than a sensation of attraction. This guy said, I love this woman, and he violated her. That's not love, bro. This man said he loved her, then when he got what he wanted, he threw her away. That's not love. That's not love. That's furthest thing from love. But people think, I love you, because they feel this sensation of attraction. Can I say to you today that that is a problem, that is problematic in a relationship. When you think a sensation of attraction is love. There's some women in this place, a guy has told you he loved you, you believed him, he was just attracted to you. See, let me give you what the problem here with just thinking that attraction is love, because there's always someone more attractive than you. I know you've come to the wedding today, I got my stuff, I'm ready, yeah. Done your hair, eyebrows, everything. But there's always someone more attractive. Look at someone, say there always is. There's always someone more attractive, bro. I don't care. Yeah, I got my six pack, I got my suit on. I got my three-piece suit. I see guys, three-piece suit. Three guys with three-piece suits. Listen, when you see three guys in the same church with the same suit, you know there's a sale on somewhere. But I love you, man. Hey, better, listen. Listen, better than a tracksuit. Amen. Keep it going, bro. Hallelujah. There's always going to be someone more attractive. He says he loves you, and she says she loves you, but then she goes to work, and then they move her into another office, and there's a guy sitting opposite her desk that's way more attractive than you, and now she's thinking, do I love you? He said he loves you, but then he gets her email, or someone tweets him, or on Facebook, and his old girlfriend from 5 years ago gets in contact with him, and she sends pictures of her on a holiday on the beach in a bikini, and he's thinking, boy, in the 5 years, she's looking better than she when I hired her. And not only that, she's looking better than you do now. And he starts to think, do I love you? See, if love is based upon attraction, you've got problems, because we're all changing. We're all changing. You're getting older. Things are changing. You're getting older. Some of you in your 20s, you think you're always going to look like that. Take a picture. You're not always going to look like that. You can tuck. You can cut. You can sucking your cheeks when they're taking the photos later on, you're getting older. Things are drooping, things are sagging, things are getting crinkly. Is it a lie? No. It's the truth. See, you cannot build a lasting relationship on just attraction. See, a sensation of attraction leads to infatuation. When we say a sensation, we're saying a feeling that results from something that has happened. So a man can see a woman and say, oh, I'd like to take you out for a date. And she agrees and she says yes. And so they go out on a date and they have a good time. But really what's happening is a transactional exchange. See, the guy looked nice. He came and he was dressed to impress, and he looks like he's got money and a big Gucci belt. You know when they have those belts that you couldn't miss it. It's like a boxing belt. What you're saying is, yeah, I got money. Well, if you got money, you don't need to tell us. Anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. And so he comes, so she's like, yeah, he's got money. He rolls up in a BM or a Mercedes. He takes you to a nice restaurant. He seems like a nice guy, and you had a good time. And so you feel a sensation. And he picks you up, you're dolled up, you've got your makeup done, you've got your hair done. And so he's attracted to you. He's like, yeah, you're looking fine. And then as he walks into the restaurant, other men look at you and he knows, yeah, she's with me. So now his status has gone up. I can get a good looking woman. And as you're sitting there, you're saying, you're laughing at his corny jokes. Saying that he looks so strong, and the way he opened the car door and the way he moved the chair, it was just like, and so basically you're stroking his ego and he likes it. And so this is a transaction of sensations, and it feels good and it grows, and you start to call it love. And before the end of it, you start to say, I love you. But the problem is this: if it is real love, why most times doesn't it last? See, why doesn't it last? Why do 50% of marriages in the world end in divorce? And 70% of second marriages, meaning if you was married in divorce and you get married again, 70% of those end in divorce. The more times you marry, the less chances you have of having a lasting relationship. Why is it that many people have said to you they love you and they've been the people that have violated you the most? Why is it that we've said it to so many people, I love you, I love you, I love you, and we go from relationship to relationship to relationship, and some of you have said it so many times, you're with someone now and you're scared to say it? Because the issue is, we need to look into this a little bit deeper. See, many of us, or should I say, in a worldly, secular sense, when we say I love you, really what we're saying is I love me. Because what I'm saying is I love what you give me. I love how you made me feel. You took me out, you made me feel, I love you. But really the issue is about me and how I feel. I love what I can get from you. So I feel that I'm receiving something. And so whether that's money, security, sex, status, I see you as a way of you fulfilling me. So I love you, but really I'm only loving me. See, I love you for what I can get from you, not for what I can give. Can I say to you today, this is not real love. This is MTV love. This is pop love. This is video love. See, think of the Timberland or whatever he said. Think of his song. He's talking about, it sounds nice when you hear it. He's high on me. I'm like his drug. He's hooked on me. You're like, oh, yeah, he's hooked on me. But can I say to you, I wasn't always a Christian. And I used to take drugs. And when I took drugs, I wasn't thinking, oh, I hope this Rizzler is happy. I hope this weed or this ash or whatever it is feeling good while I'm sucking on it. I wasn't thinking about the thing. I was thinking about how I felt. It was all about me. Woo, yeah, I feel good. I wasn't thinking. And if someone is your drug, does that mean that you are just thinking about you? See, it sounded nice in the song, oh, baby, you're my drug. And so you're like, yeah, I'm his drug. But listen, you do not have to have love to be stimulated by someone or something. See, really, all you're saying is that I want to receive, and this is why I love you. As long as you keep giving me, I'll keep loving you. This is not real love. Let me tell you why I love, you know, I've been a Christian 18 years. I've been a pastor 6 years. And so the reason why I love the Bible just explains everything. I love it. It just explains everything. Because if you're not a Christian here today, where do you go to find love? How would you even know what love is? How would you know what love is? Because if you're looking for Timberlake and Bruno, whatever his name is, and someone else to tell you what love is, you're going to be confused. If you're looking in Cosmopolitan magazine and you're trying to find out, oh, is that what love is? If you're looking at the superstars that are marrying and getting remarried, if you're looking at, worst case, you're looking at the footballers sleeping with their wife's sister, and then you think that's what love is. No, but we as the Christian, we could go to the Bible. Because God designed me, tells me what love is. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, many of us know it. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It says, love does not envy. It does not boast. Listen, many times people are in a relationship and they're competing with one another. You're competing with one another. There's men competing with women. Hey, I'm the boss. Keep competing with you. Listen, that's not love. Competing with insecurities. For me to make you love me, I've got to make you more insecure. So I'm going to go out there and say, I could get another woman, you know. You're lucky to have me. You're trying to make her insecure so she holds on to you. And you're trying to show him, I don't need you, you know. I don't need no man. I can have her by myself. Trying to make him more insecure. And so you're competing with one another. The Bible says that's not love. It says love does not insist on its own way. Love does not insist on its own way. Meaning love is not about me. Love is about giving, not just receiving. See, when the Bible speaks about the word love, it uses the word agape. This word agape means a love that gives. This is what we see in the most famous scripture that we know in all the Bible, even all those of you that come to church and weddings, funerals, Christmas and Easter. We'll see you at Easter. Amen. You even know this scripture, John 3:16. For God so... Amen. I'm not going to put you through it. Amen. You don't have to say it all. That word love is the word agape. See, agape love is a love which gives. And so what it is, when you're saying to someone, I love you, you should be saying, I want to give to you. It's not just about what I get. I want to give. See, it's a mature love. See, when I was a kid, I could be a little bit bad now and again. I know it's hard to believe. But my mom would sometimes have to discipline me. Actually, let me just say it the right way. She had to beat me on the backside. That's why all that flesh is there. So you could just give them a, set them straight. I don't want to, don't worry, they'll soon beat you. And so I'd be, oh, I don't love you. But when she would give me sweets and take me to the park and give me things, oh, I love you. See, that's an immature love. Kids do that. But we know that because they're kids. They haven't grown up yet. But a mature love is a parent's love. See, a parent loves a child, not from what they get from the child, but they get just for giving to the child. See, a parent will get up in the middle of the night and feed that child and nurse that child. And when that child is sick, that parent will be there and move sleep. I've seen parents that when their child has got a cold and their nose is all blocked up, you know what they do? I'm going to say because we got the reception to go to. But they will do that. Do they want it? Did they feel like, oh, this is a drug. I'm on the ceiling, baby. No, they didn't feel like it, but they did it because it's real mature love. That's love, a giving love. See, you see two people get into a relationship and they say, I love you, but they're thinking about what they're going to get. And this is why many people are frustrated in the relationships that they're involved in, because they're trying to get out of somebody what that person doesn't even have. They're trying to get out of somebody because they went into the, I love you, but what they were saying is, I want you to make me feel this way. And you've gone into a relationship, and then you find out everything is not as it seems. Let's go back to our imaginary couple that went out. What you find out is afterwards is that the Gucci belt he borrowed from his brother, the Mercedes he borrowed from his friend, or it was a rental. He lives with his mom and he borrowed the money from his mom to take you to that restaurant. See, you was like, oh yeah, he's going to give me security, he's going to, and so I love you. Do you still love that? Listen, ladies, son, she's different. See, because once she takes off that makeup, and takes off those eyelashes, and wipes off those eyebrows, and takes off that wig and weave, and that dress that was holding things in and propping things up, all you're left with is an attitude. And you said you love, do you still love? What you leave, what you're left with is frustration. Two people said, I love you because I'm going to get something from you. And then you get in and you're not getting. Now you're like, I don't know if I love you anymore. You never loved. Because love is to give. Because listen, no matter what man you have, he's not perfect. He's not perfect. And no matter what woman you have, she's not perfect. Listen, it's little boys that talk about, I want a perfect woman. So you got to have perfect toes. You got your measuring rod. You have perfect legs, perfect lips. There isn't a perfect woman. I love my wife. I love her. She's beautiful. I love even the imperfections about her because she is one of a kind.
This is why no other woman can pull me away, because there's only one Francis.
Let me close things up here. We want to bring things to a conclusion. Let me say this. In nature, follow me here. You got to follow me. In nature, wherever there is a need, there is the fulfillment of the need. Let me explain this to you. When I am dehydrated, or when I need hydrating, when I need water, liquid, there is water. If mankind gets dehydrated, God has provided the need for that, the fulfillment for that need. When I need fuel or energy, God has made food for man. So there's water so that we remain hydrated. There's food so that we remain fueled. What about the thirst for love that we all feel? Because every single one of us, from the moment we were born, we wanted someone to love us. Every single one of us, from the moment we were born, every single one of you here, every single one of you, man, woman, rich, poor, black, white, every single one of you, from the moment you're born, you're crying, you need someone to take care of you. Every single one of you, inside of you, there is a hunger, there is a thirst for someone to love you. Can I say to you today that there is the fulfillment of that thirst, of that need? It's called agape. See, the problem is this. Hungry and thirsty people are desperate people. When you're hungry, you will eat things that you would not normally eat. When you're hungry, you would eat things you wouldn't normally eat. When you're thirsty, you just want to drink. If you're thirsty, you drink water. You're like, oh, I need some water. Other times, I don't like water. See, thirsty, hungry people do desperate things. People that are thirsty for agape do desperate things. This is why you could see a man that would be without work, we would say, you know, he's homeless or something, and he will go into the bin and he will pick out food because he's hungry and desperate, and so he'll eat that and leave and eat people's leftovers. Because why? He's hungry and he's desperate. But the same is true when somebody is thirsty and hungry for agape, for love. When there is a woman or a man who is thirsty for love, they will go to relationship, to relationship, to relationship, trying to find that love. There are some that you would even be in a relationship that's abusive. There are women that I've met in this church that have come through these doors, and they've been in an abusive relationship, and you will tell that woman, look her in her eye and say, woman, listen, you ain't meant to be no one's punching bag. God did not design you. You're an attractive, intelligent woman. You can have better. You don't deserve that. But because she's thirsty and hungry for love, she will accept anything. Please love me. Because when you're hungry and thirsty, you receive anything. Listen what God says. Jeremiah 2 verse 13. He says, my people have committed two evils. He's saying, my people have committed two wrongs. The first wrong is this. They have forsaken me, speaking about God. They have forsaken God, the fountain of living water. The first thing he's saying, you've rejected me. You have forsaken the fountain of living water. That's the first wrong. This is the second wrong. He says, and they have hewed out cisterns for themselves. Mainly, they have made water pots for themselves, but they are broken cisterns that cannot hold water. He says, here I am, the fountain of living water, but you have rejected me. Then you've digging out for yourself these water pots that are cracked. And you keep going back to them, trying to get them to fulfill you, but there's no water there. See, how many people here, you've forsaken God, and you're trying to find fulfillment in a relationship?
How many people here, you've forsaken God, that He is the living water. He will quench that desire for love, that thirst and that hunger inside of you for agape. God will quench that and fulfill you, but you've rejected that. You've drawn back from that, but you're looking to a crackpot. Literally. See, we are all sinners, the Bible says. We're all broken. We're all imperfect. We're all leaky vessels. See, an imperfect thing cannot give you perfect love. I will repeat that. An imperfect thing, meaning all of you and me, an imperfect thing cannot give you perfect love. See, if a man has a thirst for love, then there must be a fulfillment. Just like if a man has hunger, God has made food to fulfill that need. If a man is thirsty, God has made water to fulfill that need. We have a desire for perfect love. God has given us agape to fulfill that need. God wants to fulfill that need. Listen to what he says in Romans 8. But God, demonstrating his own love towards us, in while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, when you see Christ on the cross dying, you think of religious things and No. The Bible says when you see Jesus on the cross, that was God demonstrating his love for you, his agape for you. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me speak a bit about God's love before we pray. His love is unconditional. His love is unconditional. That means God doesn't just love you to get from you. He just loves you. His love makes the first move, because the Bible says that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. See, even some of you right now, you'll be like, I'll be with, shut up. I want to go and eat. But God, even though he knew that's how you feel, Jesus still died for you. He still made the first move for you. See, this is totally different than I love you because I'm going to get from you and you're going to give to me. You don't understand that love. You're looking for this love. This is the love you've been looking for, but you've just been looking in the wrong place. No need to give up. His love is unconditional. His love is everlasting love. That means it's a love that keeps on giving. Even when you do not give, he still gives. It's a love that keeps on giving. It never runs out. It's everlasting. That means even when I fall and make mistakes, that love is still there. There's some of you here, you may be in a relationship right now, and you're scared that the person you're with would find out who you really are because you're scared they would stop loving you. Can I say God already knows who you are, who you was, and who you're gonna be, and he still loves you. He still loves you. That's an everlasting love. See, when I have this love, I'm fulfilled. Say fulfilled. When I have this love, I'm fulfilled. I'm no longer desperate. I'm no longer running around. Oh, will you love me? Will you love me? I no longer have to dress up, borrow me a Gucci belt, make someone love me. Sis, when you have this, you no longer have to parade yourself and prostitute yourself so that some man will find you attractive someday, somehow, and put up with madness. Listen, you don't have to go for all that because you're already fulfilled. You're no longer desperate. Desperate people are not fulfilled. Sorry, desperate people are not fulfilled. And the opposite will be, if you're fulfilled, you're no longer desperate. You're no longer seeking fake love. There's some people, you know, they seek love and then they can't get love, so they put up with fake love. Is that someone will tell you they love you and you know they don't love you. This is when someone knows that someone's even cheating on them, but they don't want to know. And when you go and tell them, yo, I saw so-and-so. No, and you have an argument with them. You have an argument with them. Why you have an argument with me? I'm trying to tell you that the person you're with cheated on you. You're arguing with me. No! Because it's fake love. I heard a preacher say, fake love is when a woman goes out to a restaurant with a guy and then she's slipping money under the table to give to the guy so the waitress thinks that he's paying for the meal. Fake love. Look at someone and say, fake. When you are fulfilled, you're no longer a people pleaser. Constantly trying to please people. See, when you have this love of God, it affects every other relationship. See, if you don't like me, I'm not going to die. If you don't like me, I'm not dying. I'm going to live on. See, when you have this love that fulfills, you can keep loving even when you're not getting love. See, because I'm going to God to get this fulfilling love, I can keep giving to someone else because God is giving to me. See, in my marriage, even if sometimes I feel that my wife is not doing what I would want her to do, that I need love, I can go to God and God has given me love and I can still keep giving her. And when she's in our marriage, because my wife is a godly woman, she's being fulfilled by God. And when I'm not doing exactly what she needs and what she wants, she's receiving from God. And even though she's not getting everything from me, she can still keep giving to me. Because when you're fulfilled, you can still keep giving even when you're not getting. Because the issue is, that's why Jesus says, love your enemies. How can I love my enemy? If you ain't loving me, how can I love you? Because I'm getting from God. That's how I can love my enemy. I'm not getting love from you, but I can give love to you because I didn't need to get love from you to give back to you. I got from God to give to you. See, God is the one that fulfills and it affects every other relationship. See, when people love me, I'm grateful, but I'm not dependent on it. When people love me, I'm grateful. See, when my wife loves me, I'm grateful to receive her love. When I'm fulfilled, I'm grateful for it. When my family love me, I'm grateful, but I'm not dependent on it. When my friends and the people in the church love me, I'm grateful, but I'm not dependent on it. See, you will always be dependent on the love of others until you've received the love of God. See, God made his love to fulfill us, not the love of a man or a woman to fulfill you. See, some of you have bought into this lie, oh, baby, you're going to fulfill me, baby. And you're trying to make somebody fulfill you that can never fulfill you. Do you know, I like after 8 minutes. They're those little chocolate squares. I like them. My wife hates them. Ugh. After 8 minutes are what you have after a meal. That's what they're supposed to be. You have a meal. You have a good meal. You go out, you eat, or you sit at home and you have a good meal. My wife can cook me a good, substantial meal. There's meat, there's starch, there's carbohydrates. And I'm having a good time. And after I'm full, of an evening and I'm at home, I can just have one or two, three, four, maybe. After 8 minutes. See, the after 8 minutes weren't meant to fill me up. They complement the meal. They are the bonus, the little blessings. See, this is the issue. The love of God is the main meal, and the love that people give you is the blessings. The love of God is what should fill you up. See, if I was to go home and there's no dinner, and my wife said, but you like after 8 minutes, here's two after 8 minutes, have those for dinner, then there would be some words. There would be some agape, amen. And so this is it. People are going through life and they're saying, oh, you love me, give me your love, and they give you the after 8 minutes, you know, I'm still hungry. Give me more. They're like, I've given you all I can give you right now. I can't give you any more. See, everybody in this place, your love is just an after-eatment. That's all you can give somebody. You should find someone, a man finds a woman finds a man, and gives them all of the after-eatment. It shouldn't be that you're breaking it, you're giving half to Susie and half to Sally. No. You give all to somebody. But even when you give them all, they still are not fulfilled. And this is why there are people that are frustrated and you're constantly complaining, you don't do enough for me. And they're like, I've done everything I can. No, you're not. You need the love of God. You need the love of God. You've put a man or a woman in God's place. And now you're frustrating, and you had a good man and you had a good woman, but now you're frustrating the relationship, and before you know it, the relationship breaks down and you're like, yeah, I told you, they didn't love me properly, and you go through life all the way like this. This is what the problem is. See, when a man hasn't got the love of God, he's not fulfilled, and he may marry his wife and he's expecting his wife to fulfill him. And many men are expecting their wife to fulfill him in every way. You got to cook for me, you got to do this. Listen, she's not your slave. She's not your slave. Let me say something here, and it may be controversial, but I warned you anyway. She's not your sex toy. You can't just come home and bark, yeah, do this, I want that. You're trying to be fulfilled with something that could never fully fulfill you. You should receive her love. A woman is like a flower. You have to allow the sun and the rain to let it grow and slowly open for you. You do not see a flower which is not ripe yet and grab it open. But you're trying to find fulfillment because in your life you've had too many wrong experiences. You need God. You need God. Because God will fulfill you. And then when your wife gives you her love, her after 8 men, you're like, this is good. Ladies, you need God. See, this is why there are many women, they would nag the hair off their husband. Nag their man. Nag. You know, the Bible says it's better to be in a desert than with a contentious woman. Because listen, sisters, I love you, man, but you can talk. You can talk. And if we get into an argument, you give me one and I try to give you another one. You've already given me 5 and I'm still trying to figure out the one. And you've gone, listen, you know what it is? You're not fulfilled. And so you're seeing all the faults in him, and he's not perfect, and he left the socks there, and the toilet seat is up, and why is he late, and why didn't he remember my card and my birth? And you're da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But when you're fulfilled with God, you realize as men and women, I'm fulfilled. See, it's the love of Christ that completes us. See, in Christ, I found what I was looking for. And when my wife gives me all of her love, it is the sweetest thing. It is the sweetest thing. I've been married 10 years this year. This year will be our 10-year anniversary. And I can say I love her more. It is the sweetest thing. I speak to my wife. My wife's having a good time. That's not because I'm so perfect. I know my faults. I'm not perfect. Far from it. She knows the little. As I was thinking about this sermon last night, I had the last after 8 minutes. It was like a bit crumpled up in the packet. But I still ate. Amen. I was licking the paper. Your pastor's ghetto. I know, man. Listen, my after 8 minutes, sometimes the after 8 minutes I give to my wife, it feels crumpled like that. But she still enjoys it because she's filled. Can I say to you today, the love that you've been looking for is the agape. And when you give your life to God, you open up to God. He shows you that love. And then when you come into a union with a man or a woman, and it goes across the board for everybody, but we're talking about a man and a woman, you can give them that love. It's like you don't see all their imperfections and all the things that are wrong. We're not talking about violation, he's beating you, I don't see it. No. You need to see that. I need to see that. But what we're talking about is the little they give you that they've got, it makes it so sweet. And when they say they love you, you appreciate it greatly. Because you know that they know what they mean.